Well, today and really all throughout Advent, we've been talking about Christmas light. I thought it almost sounds like a diet drink or a whipped topping, you know? If you take the S off, Christmas lights, I understand, but Christmas light, what's that all about? Sometimes I think that our country is tempted to do Christmas light, and what I mean by that is folks certainly can party it up and spend it up, but when it comes to the true meaning of the season, often, and of course I'm not, you're here this morning on Christmas morning, so this is one of those preaching to the choir, as they say, but it really is something we need to consider in kind of the direction that our country has gone. You could say it's kind of almost like Christmas light, a nod to Jesus, a nod to our Savior during the season, if you're lucky. So I'm not trying to start with a downer. I'm just saying, it's actually not really new. I mean, I'm saying it like it's just happened in our country and it's gotten really bad. But the truth is, if you were to look at more of our gospel reading from this morning, you'd see that the Apostle John would go on to say, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, you can ponder that for just a moment, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. So that's Christmas light. It's kind of like when you say you want less of something. You know, you go and you order some food, and you say light on the mustard or light on the mayo. Quite simply, this message that I have for you this morning is really a simple one, and that is that Christ has shined his light into our dark world, and oh, that we would receive it. It's kind of like in our beloved Christmas hymn, if you know the words. Why don't we, since we're not singing it, let's say it out loud together. Let's read this verse from O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's on the screen. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And so, that's what we're talking about. In the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. I'm going to go into more detail on that on Sunday as we focus on in that dark streets shineth. This is really what we read in our gospel reading this morning. In him was life, and that light shines in the darkness. So if that light's shining in the darkness, what happens to us as it shines? Well, I'm going to just give you three simple R's. You know, in school we have the three R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic. You got to love that. You can't spell like that anymore. But I've got three R's for you this morning when we think about when light, Christ's light shines in the dark places of our life. So we have them too. I'm not just coming in here this morning to talk about those people out there. This is for us. So what happens when Jesus shines his light in the dark places of our life? Well, it means that we have to be realistic. One of the leaders in the church that I served back in Arizona, he had a business of billiard tables and bar stools. And they manufactured a lot of their own merchandise. And one time I toured his manufacturing facility, and one of the things I remember that he had there where they made the bar stools was this light room. It was just kind of a room that just had lights from all directions. And I asked him what that was all about, and he said, it's amazing when you're in woodworking how the darker stains and how the wood can just hide them, like your eyes don't see them, but when you shine the light at the right angles, you'll notice the blemishes in the wood, the blemishes in the finish. And I think that is so much like us, right? That was a more realistic view of that bar stool or the panel of the billiards table that they were building. They actually saw what was going on because they shined the light on it. So the question is, why do we need to be realistic when it comes to the dark places of our life? Well, I talked a little bit about this last night when we were talking about the dirty stable that Jesus was born into, and I said that many of us, we kind of tend to deny the dirt that's in our stable. We kind of say, well, what dirt? You know, my stable's pretty clean. And to that, the apostle in his letter would say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're not being realistic about our sin. But there is a big but that comes after that. Well, it doesn't say but, it's an adversative in the Greek. Is if we confess our sins, however, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see that with confession, there is forgiveness. Out of the darkness, there is the hope of light. So, all right, so we are, that light shines and we have a more realistic view of what's really going on in our heart and in our life. And then, well, what's next after that? This light has come, we see our sin. Well, now we're redirected by God. I think parents of toddlers are good with this. If you have children now, or you remember back to when you had children, or for, you know, just children in school and in families, you know how it goes, right? If you try to take a toy from a toddler that they want, you're going to be in for a fight. They will whine and scream like it's a matter of life or death that they have that toy. But if you simply hold another interesting object out in front of them and you say, ooh, look at this, they literally will drop that other toy, throw it into your hands to grab the new toy that they've been redirected to. See, redirection affects what we put our attention on. Or for that child that's crying because his friends won't play with him, as a parent or friend, you can say, well, hey, do you want to help me with this project that I'm working on? And you take their attention off of their struggle or their pain, and you focus them on something good. It's redirection. So if the light is shining in our life and it's revealing the faults and the blemishes of the sin in our life, that would cause us to repent, okay? We like in church to use this word repent, and repent means to turn from something, but the question could then be, well, what are we gonna turn to? If we're gonna turn from our sin, what are we gonna turn to? We need something to direct our life toward. I don't know if anybody here has ever smoked or more specifically tried to give up smoking. I grew up in a household of 5 smokers in my house, all smoking at one time. Might be why I have asthma, but I'm not bitter. Anyway, it seemed like someone in our house was always trying to quit smoking. And oh, they would have fun and they would bet each other who could quit first or who could quit the longest. And you could always tell when somebody was quitting smoking because they were chewing gum, and pretty vigorously, because what they really wanted to do was smoke. But they, and for the children, parents, you'll have to explain to them the bad side of smoking. Sorry, they come to church, Pastor Augie talked about smoking. Quitting smoking is what I'm talking about. And what they would do in an attempt to take their mind off what they really wanted to be doing was they would chew gum instead. It's kind of really human nature. If you're going to tell me that I can't do this, now I need something to do instead. Again, it's kind of like we would do with our children. And instead of just fighting with them and saying, you can't have Captain Crunch, which may qualify as child abuse, but what we would do is we say, you can have Rice Krispies or Chex or, you know, fill in the blank. We gave them choices to redirect them. All right, so quite simply, you and I, we've got the light of Christ shining in the dark areas of our life. We desire to do better. We desire to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh, and to put off that sin and to live by a new path. And that's where the psalmist says to us, your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. If you need a new course, if you need to know what is the better way for my life, open up God's word. It will give you the direction that you need, and it will give you new hope, and it will focus you in the direction that God wants you to go. So now, we didn't use it in this morning's liturgy, but one of the liturgies that we use, we have this longer confession that we often will have printed in our bulletin or on the screens. So again, I would like you to say this with me. For some of you, this might be new, or for others, it'll be very familiar. And I want to point something out at the end, okay? So let's read this together. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways for the glory of your holy name. Amen. Do you see the redirection? We would delight in his will and walk in his ways. Friends, this is being realistic. That's the confession part. And the redirection. So together, the confession and redirection, we call this repentance. All right? Not turning just from something, but turning to something. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light, and we walk as children of the light. We're walking in a new path. So the last thing, we can only do this because we've been restored. All right, this light that comes into our life, it doesn't just shine on us and show us our errors. It doesn't just shine a path forward. It actually cleanses us and makes us new. We are restored through Jesus Christ and his light. Now, in the world, we discard broken things. I kind of wish we had like an extra garbage can at home, or we had an extra day of the week, because we manage to fill our garbage cans at home every week. And sometimes I have to go to the neighbors and say, can I put some stuff in your can? We like disposable things. We have disposable forks, disposable plates, disposable wrapping. And we don't often. If you're from another generation, you remembered saving things. You would fix things. You would make them work again. And now we just toss them and we get something else. Oh, thankfully not our Lord. Our Lord doesn't just toss us and get new people. What he does is he's come into our life. He's not only come into the world, he's shined his light on our lives and he restores us. He restores us through the water, the washing of baptism, through the word which we hear and receive, and through the sacrament which we'll receive this morning. To make us new, an actual change of heart. Jesus says, or the Apostle Paul says about Jesus, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is gone, the old has come, the new is here. You and I are new. We're restored in Christ. Jesus, the Lamb of God, sitting on the throne, and the book of Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, says this, I am making everything new. And then the very end of the Bible, Revelation 22, shows us that newness, shows us that restoration. We in God's church, in his kingdom now, we have that restoration now in us. But one day, he will restore all things. And the night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. So right now, we see that light by faith. But one day, all will undeniably see that light. This is his gift to us. This is why in church, when we have that confession and we repent in our hearts, I don't have it on the screen, but you'll often hear me say something like this. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, friends, you and I are made new. It's kind of like in the book of Acts, this restoration that we experience. Jesus says, I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So they are sanctified, we are sanctified and changed, and we live a new life every day, right? It's a new life. It's a new day because Christ has come. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Christmas. We're grateful that your Son came into our world to shine his light into our darkness, and that by that light we see our sin. So we repent of it, And we desire to walk in your ways. Lord, thank you for making us new in Christ, so that again we can delight in your will and walk in your ways for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.